When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. I needed a little vacation, just a weekend away. New sights, even if it wasn't too far away from home. I got on the internet and found a room at Queen Mab's B&B, just a few hours up into the mountains. It sounded just fairy tale enough for a lovely weekend away from reality. I left straight from work on Friday and drove the twisting roads up into the mountains. The hills were lit up around me and then faded into darkness. I took it slowly. Winter roads in the mountains are hazardous with ice and deer that seem to think a pair of headlights means stop and stare. When I pulled into the little parking lot and saw the welcoming lights of the B&B, I felt tired and ready for bed. I followed the fairy lights up the snowy path to the front door and walked into a warm and welcoming parlor. A young man said hello and checked me in while I glanced around. A warm fire and a few folks still up either quietly chatting or reading. The front desk clerk handed me my room key, told me breakfast would be from 6:30 to 10, and wished me a good night. I immediately went to my room, washed my face, brushed my teeth, and fell asleep. The gentle morning light filtered through lace curtains, and I smelled pancakes. That was enough to get me moving, and after a refreshing shower, I almost skipped down the stairs to the dining room. It looked like I could order from a menu, and the delicacies were so tempting. Lighter-than-cloud pancakes, stuffed French toast, parfaits, crepes, omelets, and a full-on English breakfast. I ordered strawberry-stuffed French toast and a cup of orange juice. I was eagerly waiting for my plate to come when a young waitress came to my table to refill my coffee cup. As she leaned over and poured the warm beverage, she whispered, "Please, miss, whatever you do, don't eat the food. If you do, you'll be trapped here forever." Well, 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 is the story for this episode. This episode features one story and one teller. Adam Booth's original stories blend traditional mountain folklore, music, and an awareness of contemporary Appalachia. He is also a four-time winner of the West Virginia Liars Contest. This is the title story from his CD, Well, Well, Well.
There was once a woman who everyone agreed was the meanest woman in town. She came to be known as a puppy kicker. She was so mean. Why, if there was a puppy walking by and people weren't looking, she'd kick it right in the backside. And if people were looking, she'd kick it twice. Well, that woman, she had a daughter that was just like her, mean to the core. She was teaching her to be a puppy kicker, too. And they would be mean to people all throughout the town all day long. And at the end of the day, they'd come home, they'd sit on their couch and stuff their faces with cakes and cookies and laugh and tell all the stories of the things they had done all day long. Now, also in this town, there was a man. He was good and kind. He had a heart that you'd think was made out of gold. He'd work a sixth day in the week if it meant he would have enough money to help out a neighbor who was in need. And he had a daughter who was just like him, good to the core. Now one day, that wicked old puppy-kicker woman and that good golden-hearted man, they met each other and they fell in love. How could it be, people said? They're complete opposites. But love doesn't have to make sense. They fell in love and they got married. And not long after that, they all moved in together so that the mean woman and her daughter and the good man and his daughter all lived together in one house. And now that they were a bigger family, Dad had to take a new job. He got a job of work far out of town, over the mountains, and he would be gone for days at a time, sometimes over a week. And as soon as he left down that path, that wicked woman would spin around on her heel and make the good daughter do all the work by saying, "Little girl, go do all the work." Sometimes it was cleaning the toilets, sometimes it was scrubbing the floors, and almost every day it was tending to the garden. And as soon as she was sent out to do that, the wicked stepmother and the wicked stepsister would plop down on their couch and begin stuffing their faces with those cakes and cookies. She does all the work and we don't have to do anything. Now, no matter how good the good little girl was, her wicked stepmother hated her more and more and more until one day she came up with a plan to get rid of her altogether. As soon as she sent her out into the garden to do the work, she turned to her own daughter. "Daughter, come close. When your stepsister comes back inside, I want you to be upstairs in your room. Get into bed and pull the cover all the way up to your chin. When we come to visit you, don't speak one word." "Oh, Mother, this sounds like an evil plan." "It is." "Excellent." And she ran off to get ready for it. And later, when the good girl came back in from doing the work in the garden, her stepmother started crying. She turned on the tears. She was like an actress on the stage of a fine theater. "Oh, my poor daughter has become so sick while you were out working in the field. Here, come see." And she grabbed her by the arm and dragged her upstairs. As soon as they went into the little girl's bedroom, "Oh, look how sick she is. She's so sick she can't even talk." "Is it true, sister? You can't even talk? You're so sick?" And that mean little girl just laid looking straight ahead. "Oh, she's so sick and she'll never ever get well again. Oh, there's nothing we can do." "Really, stepmommy, there's nothing we can do?" "Oh, no, nothing we can do. Except, I heard tell one time that there is a well at the very end of the world filled with water that would cure any sickness." "Oh, but we don't have anyone to go to the end of the world to get that water for us." "We don't?" "Oh, no, no one will do it and she'll be sick forever." "Well, I'll go do it." "You will? If it means healing my sister." "Great, you leave tomorrow." And the next morning, the good little girl fixed breakfast for everyone like she always did. She also made for herself a cake of cornbread that she wrapped up in a cloth napkin and tied it with a knot. She got a glass bottle and filled it with water and pressed a cork on the end. And just as she was turning to go, her stepmother said, "Wait, take this with you." And from the cupboard, she withdrew a glass pitcher with a screw-top lid. "Take it to the well at the end of the world. Fill it with the water that's within. And don't come home until you've done it." "Okay." And the good girl left out of the house, setting out on the journey to a well at the end of the world that she thought existed. And as soon as she disappeared down the road, "I've done it!" her stepmother rejoiced because she had gotten rid of that good little girl. Well, the good girl, she walked and she walked and she walked, and by the end of that first day, she was in the middle of the woods. She found a large rock to sit on so that she could eat some of that cornbread. And just as she was untying the knot of the napkin, the wind began to blow. The trees shook. And the bushes rustled. And she turned around and saw, coming out of the bushes, was a very old man so old. He was hunched over, bent almost double. He had a beard coming off of his chin that reached down to the tips of his toes. It was the color of snow, and he had a wooden walking stick in one hand. He saw the little girl and reached toward her. "Little girl, please feed me some of that cornbread." Now, this story is from long ago, in a different time, when a little girl might go into the woods all by herself. That's not always the case today. But because he had asked nicely, she said, "Okay, come on over here. Sit on this rock next to me, old beardy man." And he came and sat down next to her. She pinched some of that cornbread off and gave it to him, which he devoured, the crumbs falling onto his beard. "Little girl, please, some of your water." She took the glass bottle and popped the cork off of it. He had a sip. "Little girl, because you were kind to me, I have a gift for you." He lifted up that walking stick and laid it right in her lap. "Oh, beardy man, I don't need a walking stick. I'm a little girl." "Hush, girl," he said. "This is no ordinary walking stick. It's magic. If ever you are in danger, hold it high above your head. Wave it around 3 times, point it at the trouble and say, 'Away, danger, away.'" "Well, thank you, old beardy man." And with that, he was up and walking back into the bushes. The next day, the girl gathered all of her things, including that new walking stick, and she set out on her journey to find the well at the end of the world. By the time the day was halfway over, when the sun was right above her head, she was out in a great, large field, and she heard a sound coming from behind her. Grum, grum. Grum, brum, brum. She turned around. Brum, grum, brum, brum. And as far as she could see from the east to the west, grum, brum, grum, brum, brum, 1,000 horses, grum, brum, 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 galloping at top speed, coming right at her. Brum, 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 brum. And there was nowhere for her to hide. "Look out, horses, look out," she called to them. Oh, but those horses didn't speak English. And she didn't speak horse. What was she going to do? They were getting closer with every second. And then she remembered the walking stick. She held it high above her head, waved it around 3 times, pointed it at the horses, and said, "Away, danger, away." And with that, the horses turned and galloped directly to the west. When the dust settled, she realized she was okay. The stick had worked. She continued on her journey. And some time later, she found herself at a fence. Now, she loved to climb fences, but this fence was so tall that there was no way she would get over it. She knew she'd have to look for a gate, so she walked along until she found a gate. But when she looked closely, she noticed that that open gate had barbed wires all around it and teeth growing out of it. And not regular teeth from the front of your mouth, pointy teeth like from a wolf. She took a step closer to that gate, and it started to close all on its own. She took another step, and it closed a little more. She took 3 short steps, and it closed. But when she stepped back, it opened all the way back in the other direction. Now, she knew if she went through it, the gate would close on her, and the barbed wires and the teeth would tear her clothes and scratch her skin. But then she remembered the walking stick. She held it up, waved it 3 times, and pointed it at the gate, and said, "Away, danger, away!" And it opened all the way back and fastened itself against the fence, so she could walk right through. She kept on the journey until one day she found herself at a place where there was no more land. All she could see was high waves of ocean water, blue as the sky. "This must be it," she thought. "The end of the world. There was sand everywhere. Where's that well?" she thought. She looked this way. There was no well. She looked that way. There it was. A well made out of stones, with a roof made out of wooden shingles. There was a handle and a bucket tied with a rope. She set her things down, and she began to turn that handle, cranking the bucket down, down, down into the darkness. When she cranked it back the other way, oh, it was much heavier. She cranked and she cranked until the bucket appeared out of the well. And when she looked in the bucket, there was not water. There was a head. a head all on its own, and it blinked its eyes real big because it had been down in the darkness for some time. It looked at that girl and continued to blink its eyes. The girl had never seen a head all on its own, so she looked at it for a while, and finally the head spoke. It said, "Wash me and dry me and lay me down easy." And the little girl said, "Okay." She lifted the head out of the bucket, took it to the water. She washed it, she dried it on the hem of her skirt, and laid it down nice and easy there on the sand. "Thank you." She went back to the well and turned the crank again. The bucket disappeared down into the darkness. When she cranked it up, oh, it was even heavier than the first time. And when the bucket appeared the second time, there was a second head. It looked at the girl for a while and blinked its eyes. She looked back and finally it said, "Wash me and dry me and lay me down easy." Okay, so she did that. She washed and dried it, laid it down next to the first head, and they exchanged greetings. "Hello, hello." She went back to the well, cranked the bucket down a third time, cranked it up a third time. In the bucket a third time was a head. "Wash me and dry me and lay me down easy," which she did, and set it next to the first two heads. She went back to the well. She needed that water. She cranked the bucket down. She cranked it back up. A fourth time, another head. "Wash me and dry me and lay me down easy," which she did, set that head down next to the first three heads. She went down and cranked that crank, and the bucket went down, and when it came up the fifth time, there was water. Pure, clean, cold water, which she poured from the bucket into that pitcher that her stepmother had given her. She screwed the lid on tight, gathered her things, and turned to go on the journey back home to save her sister. And as she was leaving that well, the heads, they began to talk to each other. The first one said, "Boy, that girl, she sure was nice. I hope when she gets home that she's twice as nice." The second one said, "You're right, she was nice, and she was kind of pretty. I hope when she gets home, she's twice as pretty." The third one said, "You're both right. She was nice and pretty, and she smelled good. I hope when she gets home, she smells twice as good." And the fourth head said, "You're all right. She was nice and pretty, and she smelled good, but did you notice how she was dressed? She was covered in rags like she was a servant girl. So I hope when she gets home, she's surrounded by nice, wonderful things." Well, it took that girl just about as long to get back home as it had taken her to get there. And just before she walked into town, a wind began to blow from behind her. And as it passed over her, suddenly it was fragranced with the smell of 1,000 roses. And people ran out of their houses. They came out because they thought a florist had opened. But when they looked, it wasn't flowers at all. It was a little girl. They had to turn away. They couldn't hardly look at her. She was so pretty. And she got prettier with every step. "Oh, little girl," they said, "welcome to town. Stay here as long as you want." She said, "That's mighty nice of you. I'd like to, but I got to go home and help my sister." They said, "Oh, you're nice too. Oh, what a good little girl." Soon she was back at her home. She placed her hand on the doorknob of the front door, turned it until it clicked, and just as she pushed that door open, who was waiting inside but her stepmother? She spun around on her heel. "Who's coming inside my house without knock?" "Oh, it's you. What are you doing here? You were never supposed to come back here." And the little girl said, "I'm back." "No," she said, "it's not possible. You were supposed to go to the end of the world." "I did." "No, you're supposed to get water from a well that doesn't exist." "It does. Here it is, stepmommy. I got that water in this pitcher right here. Give it to me." And she took that pitcher and she set it up on a counter and said, "Now get out of my face. I don't want to see you here." And the little girl said, "I'll go away for a little bit, but won't you comb my hair first? My hair's all tangled and knotty from the trip." And her stepmother said, "What do I look like to you? Your servant? Get a comb and go over in the corner and comb your hair out yourself." She got a comb and went to the corner and she started combing this one side of her hair. It was so tangled and knotty that it was hard to get the comb through, but finally she passed it through the tips of her hair, and when the comb came out of her hair, phoom, out of her hair fell pieces of silver. They clattered all over the floor. She went to comb the other side of her hair. It was more tangled and more knotty, but when she got the comb through this side, phoom, out of her hair fell pieces of gold. And her stepmother saw the whole thing. "Oh, little girl, she said, come over here and let me comb out your hair. No, stepmommy, you told me to comb my hair out myself. And she went to comb the back side of her hair, which was the most tangled and the most knotty. But when the comb came through the back part of her hair, phoom, all over the floor fell rubies and emeralds and diamonds. And the more she combed her hair, the more the treasure just piled up all around her. Little girl, she said, where did you get all that treasure from? Just did what you told me to, stepmommy. I went to the well at the end of the world. I met some heads, and when I came back, this was happening. And there she combed that treasure. Well, that wicked stepmother came up with a plan. Daughter, come here, she called for her own daughter, who came skipping down. Mother, is it time for cakes and cookies? No, she said. Tomorrow, you're going to go to the well at the end of the world. Go straight there, meet these heads, come back. And when you get here, the first thing you do is put your head right here on mommy's lap and let me comb out your hair. She thought she would have all that treasure for herself. Well, the little girl wasn't thinking of any of that. She was shaking. She didn't want to go on that trip. She had never done any work in her whole life. The next morning, the good girl fixed breakfast for everyone just like she always did. She also made a cake of cornbread for her stepsister to take on this journey, which she tied up in a cloth napkin with a knot. She got a glass bottle with a cork on the top, filled it with water so she could have things to take on the journey. And just before that bad girl left, her mother took the pitcher that her sister had brought home the day before, unscrewed the top of it, and poured the water out the kitchen window. Here, take this with you. Fill it up with water, all the way to the top, from the well at the end of the world. But don't come home until you've done it. She gathered up the cornbread, the glass water bottle, and the empty pitcher, and pushed the little girl out the front door. Slam went the door as the girl left for her journey.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Three Pigs Custom Homes. When you're ready to settle down in your own cottage, home, or castle, contact Three Pigs Custom Homes. They specialize in a full range of builds, including straw bale homes for the eco-conscious, wood construction for Victorian style or log cabins, and brick for cozy cottages, classic brownstone, or elegant castles. The three brothers would also like to take the time to address any concerns and verify that their homes are wolf and bluster proof. They are so confident in their building skills, their houses include full coverage by Three Pigs Homeowners Insurance. Three Pigs Custom Homes. For security that you can count on by the hair of your chinny chin chin. This episode is also brought to you by the new Patreon supporter, Stina French. I must admit to knowing this patron, and I can say the magic is strong in her. She can hear the muses that whisper, and while others think it is the wind, or perhaps the hiss of a tire on the road, she will nod quietly, put pen to paper, and bring to life exquisite poetry and folktales that have been waiting since time began to be heard. She is also a generous supporter of storytelling, which is pretty cool. A big thank you to her and all the other patrons of the podcast. Be like Stina and become a patron for as little as $4 a month while getting some sweet perks and rewards. Only moments after that waitress had whispered a warning, the food was delivered to the table. It was beautiful, a stack of French toast, strawberries and whipped cream dripping off of it. My stomach grumbled to look at it, but that waitress, who had moved on to the next table, would shake her head every time I looked at her. I sighed and pushed away the plate, trying to content myself with sipping on the coffee. It wasn't a few minutes later when a different waiter approached me. Is something wrong with your breakfast? Would you like something different? It seems my stammering had gathered some attention. A stately and elegant woman sitting at a nearby table stood and came over. I am Queen Mab. Is there something wrong with your breakfast? We are here to serve you and make your stay as pleasant as possible. I decided the truth would be the best course of action. To be honest, I was told not to eat the food. It has some power to keep me here if I eat. As a storyteller, I take these warnings quite seriously. The queen let out a laugh that sounded like ice crystals chiming together and called over the waitress who had warned me. "Puck, did you tell this patron not to eat the food?" The waitress let a sly grin spread across her face. The queen responded with a cold look and then turned back to me. "Miss, the food is quite safe. We have humans making it to ensure that everyone who checks in can check out. We do enjoy keeping a few of you, but we don't want every tourist who comes through our doors staying with us for eternity. Please, enjoy your breakfast with complete confidence while I have a word with Puck." She grabbed Puck's ear firmly, but before she took the squirming and protesting Fay away, she turned back. "Should you have time this evening, I would be delighted to hear about your storytelling. It's not every day I hear stories about myself." With that, she glided out of the room, guiding a now squeaking Puck beside her. I ate thoughtfully, and it was a superb breakfast. And now we turn to the thrilling conclusion of Adam Booth's story, Well, Well, Well.
By the end of that day, as the sun was starting to set, she found herself in the middle of the woods. She found a large rock to sit upon so she could eat her cornbread. She was untying that knot and pinching a piece of the cornbread when the wind began to blow. The leaves moved and the bushes rustled, and she looked behind her because she heard something. There, coming out of the woods, was a strange old man. He had a beard that came off of his chin and touched the tips of his toes. He had a walking stick in one hand, and when he saw that bad girl, he said, "Little girl, please feed me some of your cornbread." Now, this was the bad girl. So when she saw that man asking for some of her food, she said, "Oh, no, yuck, get away from me, you're gross." "Little girl," he said, "some of your water, please. I'm thirsty." "No," she said, "if I share my stuff with you, what am I going to have for myself? Now get, yuck." And he turned on his walking stick and disappeared back into the woods and was gone. The next morning, she gathered her things, left the woods, and by the time the day was half over, she was out in a great big field. The sun was right above her head, and she heard a sound coming from behind her. Grum, grum, grum. Do you know what it was? When she turned and looked there from the east to the west, it was 1,000 horses galloping just as fast as they could come right towards her. "Look out," she said. "Look out, horses. You're going to trample me to death." But the horses weren't listening, and she had no way to get away from the danger. They came closer and closer, grump, 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 until they came so close that she just dropped down to the ground. She had to roll to the left, to the right, this way and that way, pulling in her arms and her legs as hooves came down all around her, kicking up a big cloud of dust. And when all those horses had passed over, luckily, she had not broken any bones, although the edges of her clothes were trampled and dirty, and her face was covered in dirt that was turning into mud as tears came down her cheeks. Those horses didn't listen. She stood up and went on her journey. "Gotta get this water so I can get home and eat cookies again and cakes." She went and she went and she went until she came to a fence that was so high she couldn't get over it. "Fence, I gotta get through you. Where's a gate?" She looked until she found a gate. It was open and it was a strange gate. It was covered in barbed wires and had teeth growing out of it. And as she stepped closer to it, it started to close all on its own. She took another step. It was almost completely closed. "Gate," she said, "I gotta get through you. Look out." And as she stepped through it, it closed right on her. And those barbs from the barbed wire tore at her clothes. "Oh," she said, "let me go." It opened up and she leapt back. "Now, gate," she said, "I gotta get to the other side so I can get to this well so I can get back home. Now stay open." And when she went through, It closed on her twice this time, and the teeth dug into her skin and scratched it up. Oh, she said, let me go. It opened up, and she jumped back. Now, gate, she said, I'm coming through you this time. And she went to go, but she stopped, and the gate closed all on its own. Ha ha, tricked you. It opened back up, and she jumped through. She was so mean, she was mean even to a gate. She walked and she walked and she walked until she finally came to a place where there was no more land, just high waves of ocean water. Now, where is that well? She said. She looked to the left. No well, just sand. She looked to the right. There was the well. It's about time, she said. She threw her things down. She saw there was a bucket and a crank, and she turned the crank as the bucket went down into the well. When she cranked it back up, oh, it was heavy, and finally the bucket appeared. But there was not water in the bucket. There was a head. And that head blinked real big. And finally it spoke. Wash me and dry me and lay me down easy. And the little girl grabbed the bucket and said, ew, yuck, a head? Get out of my bucket. And she heaved the bucket and the head flew out of it and landed down on the sand. She cranked the crank a second time, and the bucket went down into the darkness. When she cranked it back up, oh, it was heavy. And when the bucket appeared a second time, there was a head. Wash me and dry me and lay me down easy, the head said. She grabbed that bucket and said, didn't I just tell you to get out of my bucket? And the head said, oh, I'm a different one. Do we all look the same to you? She said, get out. She heaved the bucket, and the head flew out of the bucket. Landed next to the first head. She cranked a third time, and the bucket went down and came back up. And when it reappeared the third time, there was a third head. Wash me and dry me and... Oh, no, she said, get out. She heaved the bucket, and the head flew out and landed next to the first two. When she cranked down a fourth time and back up a fourth time, there was a fourth head. Wash me and... No, get out. She heaved the bucket, and the head flew out next to the first three. When she cranked the bucket up the fifth time, there was pure, crystal clear, cold water. Well, it is about time, she said. She took the pitcher with the screw-type lid and poured the water into it, screwed the lid on, and turned to go back home, huffing the whole way. And as she turned to go, those heads, they started talking to each other. The first one said, boy, that girl had the ugliest personality I ever saw in my life. I hope when she gets home, she's twice as ugly. The second one said, you're right, she was ugly and she was mean. I hope when she gets home, she's twice as mean. The third one said, you're right, she was ugly and she was mean. And did you smell her? She smelled like she'd been trampled by horses. I hope when she gets home, she smells twice as bad. And the fourth one said, you're right, she was ugly and mean and she smelled bad. So I hope when she gets home, she's just surrounded by creepy, gross things. Well, the girl took almost as long to get back home as she had taken to get there. And just before she got into town, a wind began to blow from behind. And as it passed over her, it was filled with the aroma of a family of skunks. Oh, people ran out of their homes with brooms to shoo away the skunks from town, but they saw it wasn't skunks. It was a little girl, and they had to turn their face. She was so ugly, getting uglier with every step. Shoo, little girl, they said. They began sweeping her down the road. Get. And she began hollering at them. That's not how you treat a little girl. Treat me right. Get out of town, little girl, they said, and they swept her all the way to her house. She placed her hand on the doorknob and pushed open that front door. And who was waiting inside? Her very own mother. She spun around on her heel. My daughter, she said, you've come home, and you're even prettier than when you left. Here's that water you wanted, mother. Never mind. She took that glass pitcher and put it up on a shelf. Come, let mother comb out your hair. I don't want to. I want cookies and cakes. No. Place your head here on mother's lap, which she did. And her mother took a comb and began combing one side of her hair, which was so tangled and knotty that the little girl screamed and squirmed. But the woman kept pushing that comb through until finally the ends of the comb went through the ends of her hair and phoom! Out of her hair fell 100 spiders. Oh, they crawled all over the floor, and the girl and her mother screamed because they hated spiders. No, said her mother, something's not quite right. Turn around and let me comb out the other side of your hair. I don't want to, mother. Do it. She turned around, and the woman began combing this side of her daughter's hair. She combed and she combed and she struggled, and finally the comb passed through this side of her hair, and phoom! Out of her hair fell 100 snakes. They slithered all over the floor, and if there was anything they hated more than spiders, it was snakes. "Something's not right, daughter. Let me comb out the back side of your hair." And the girl turned around. The woman took the comb and began pulling and tugging and pulling and tugging, and finally the comb came through the back part of her hair, and phoom! Out of her hair fell a catfish. It hit the floor with a thud and began trying to breathe. And it flopped up in the air and fell back down against the floor. When it hit the floor, it grew twice in size. It flopped up again and hit the floor again and grew twice in size again. The woman and the daughter jumped up on a chair and held each other. That fish was so big now, it flopped again and it hit one side of the house. It came down on the floor. It was twice in size again. It hit the other wall this time and was twice in size again. It was so big now that the next time it flopped up in the air, it hit the ceiling. It bounced off of the ceiling and turned a little bit as it came falling down so that its face was coming first. It saw the woman and the daughter up on a chair. It opened its mouth great big and fell right on top of them with one big gulp. Swallowed them down. It flopped against the floor again and again, and it flopped out the front door, which they had left open, for they had no manners. And it flopped all the way till it found a creek. It jumped in and swam away, and that old woman and her daughter were never seen again. Later that day, the good girl was fixing dinner, like she always did, when she heard a sound coming from outside. And there was only one person who whistled like that. She ran through the house till she went out the front door. She opened her arms great big, "Daddy!" And her dad came running up to greet her. He picked her up and spun her around in a circle. "You're home. I'm home. Dinner's ready. Come inside." They went inside and sat down to eat. And her dad said, "Well, where's your stepmother and your stepsister?" She told him the whole story of everything that had happened, all the way to the end when the fish ate them and they would never be seen again. And he thought on it for a while before finally saying, "Well, I'm okay with that. They were mean to you, and they were mean to me and everyone in town. And nothing we ever did or said was going to change that, no matter how hard we tried." Well, their life changed after that. See, Dad never had to go away for work ever again, because any time they ran low on money, the little girl would just shake her head this way and that way, and treasures would fall out of her hair. Treasures that they shared freely, and that's how they continued to live, with the treasure of kindness in their hearts.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Adam Booth on the internet. Tell him you heard him on the podcast and now want to hear him tell more stories. You can connect with the podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast, or me at Rachel Ann Harding. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor was Eden Elizabeth. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a story seed from Laura Packer. You can find her lovely story and writing prompts by looking her up on social media. You can see the fairy tale sponsor ads on the Story Story Podcast Instagram and Facebook page. While you're there, let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron or joining the mailing list to get podcast goodies or writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the show. You will hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
And Mary Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth. that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.